Okay, we're beginning in Sanhedrin Yud Amid Aleph, about halfway down the page. Just about smack in the middle, maybe a little before, by the two dots. We're going back to our Mishnah. We had a machlokes. What kind of court do you need to judge cases of lashes, of makas? So one opinion says, Tanakama, makos bishlosha. Lashes needs a court of three judges. We'll see another opinion later. We'll say you need 23. That's a machlokes. So Gemara asks, Minohani Mili, how do we know what's the Torah source that a court of three is enough to give lashes? And not like the other opinion that says you need 23. Omar Rav Huna says, Omar Kra, the Pasuk says the following. When we're dealing with giving lashes. So let's look below the line. We get the whole pasuk over here, and then we'll take the context over here. The pasuk says, Ki yiyeh riv bein anashim, if there's a dispute between men, v'nikshu el hamishpat, and they shall come before the judges for adjudication, ushvatum, and the judges will judge them. That's the word we need to know, because that's the word the Gemara is going to bring. Ushvatum, and they will judge them. What's the minimum amount to say the word, and they will judge them? Two. Okay. Wow. Just keep that in mind. Well, they. So that's got to be more than one, so the minimum is two. And then it says, V'hit stiku es atzadik, they shall exonerate the innocent one. V'hit shiu es arasha, and they will convict the guilty one. Okay? And then the next pasuk says, V'hoya im bin, then it shall be that if the evildoer is guilty, then the hiku is esa rasha, he gets lashes. Okay? So that's
what kind of case it is.
Well, it doesn't matter, but it's a case of lashes. All we need to know is there's an issue of lashes here. That's the whole pasuk says. It says you'll exonerate the innocent one, make the guy guilty. Vahoya imbin hakos harasha. It shall be the evildoer will be lashed.
Maybe I'm sorry, but
so
where would you get lashes if it's a civil dispute?
Who said it's civil?
It doesn't say what it is.
It doesn't matter what it is.
It's
a case of lashes. What do you mean? A civil dispute? You did something that deserves a punishment of lashes between one guy and another guy. We'll see. But we'll see. But anyway, the Torah is saying there's a case of lashes. So therefore, that's the... Now let's take it back inside, upstairs. So Amar Kra, the text says, Ushvatum, and they will judge them. So what's the minimal amount of the plural? That's shnayim. That's two. And we already learned many times, ve'ein bezdin shakol. And you can't use an even number of judges in a court. And therefore we add the minimum that's necessary. Mosif in aleim od echad. We add one more to that. Hare kan shlosha. That gives us a court of three. Now, so that's the Gemara. That's a simple understanding. We're now going to ask a question on that. Wait a minute. There seems to be a lot more plurals mentioned in the pasuk, and as we had in the other times, maybe the extra plurals are coming to add a little bit more than three judges. Ela meyata, but if that's the case, that we said they will judge, that says two judges are required. So let's continue with that pasuk, as we already saw. The pasuk says, after Ushvatom, it says, and you don't really have to add any more plurals. It says, v'hitztiku. It says, and they will exonerate. Okay, now what's the minimum amount of, and they will exonerate? That is shnayim. That's two judges to exonerate, right? So, what?
You have two and two.
You got two and two. And then it says, v'hirshiu. Virshu, and that means, and they will make guilty. That's shnayim. That's two more over there. So look what we got. We got two and two and two. Harei kan shiva. We get a total of seven. Now, of course, you're going to say, we're already talking with two, so the plural's just matching it, right, Shelley?
Yeah, but
Yeah, but you can say the reverse. We can talk about from the point of the litigant, and then you don't have to talk about from the point of the judges. Depends on the perspective that you're writing it from. You can use a, you know, and there will be a guilty party and there'll be an innocent party. So you don't have to say, and they will necessarily. So Lechaira, with all this extra plurality, why don't we say these are extra teachings? You don't have to write it this way. You could have written it in a different way without having to. It's a little bit verbose. So you can just say you take it before them and you punish the guy. Obviously, that's what's happening. When you make a decision, that's what you're making. Really, the whole clauses are extra. So it would appear that was telling us, well, we got not three, but seven. That's what you would think. So Gemara says, no, we use these words for another teaching, that of Ula. Hahu, those extra words of Hitziku, Vihishiu, you'll exonerate, you'll convict, you're going to see in a minute, can't be used to teaching us the amount to add to the judges. But we need to Ula according to the teaching of Ula. What does Ula say? Now, first you're going to make a statement, and you're going to jump. You're going to say, that doesn't make any sense. Gemara is going to immediately correct the statement. So let's see everybody jump now. The Omar Ula, because Ula says, Remez la'edim zomina Torah. Where is there a hint to false witnesses in the Midain, from the Torah? Where is there a hint that edim zomamim, those are the witnesses that could not testify, where other people said, how could you testify? You weren't here. How do we know that they incur a punishment? So you should be jumping. You guys, you should be jumping. Oh, what?
But you don't need a remez because it says explicitly.
Yeah, what do you mean a hint? What do you mean a hint? There's explicit psukim. There's a whole parsha of Adim Zomim. It says it straight out. If false witnesses come, you do to them what they plan. What do you mean we're looking for a hint? That's Gemara jumping. Remez le'edim zomim. You're looking for an allusion, a hint? Tim zomim? Foxiv, it says it explicitly. Kasher zomam. You punish them as they planned. Right? So it's written explicitly in the Torah. So what's going on over here? So the answer is, no, we want to have a hint to a particular detail of the law of edim zomim. Not the primary law of Adam Zomim, that's explicitly written. But a hint to the unique detail that we're looking for, and that's coming up here. Ela means remez le'edim zomim. We want a hint for Adam Zomim. Shaloikin minayim. How do we know that Adam Zomim can incur lashes when we don't, and we're going to say, wait a minute, what do I need that for? It says, do what he planned on doing. We have to add one more point. Remember, how do you punish Edim Zomim? You punish them with the exact punishment they wanted to give to the victim falsely. But you can't always apply that. It will not always work, as we'll see in a minute. So then how do we know that we lash them if we can't give them exactly what they planned on doing? What would be a case where it's impossible to give the Edim Zomamim the punishment that they wanted to give somebody? A Kohen, exactly. If everything else, if you want to kill a guy, we can kill him. You want to take money away from him, you can take money away from him. But if the guy's a Kohen and they falsely swear that his father, the Kohen's father, married a divorce, which now makes him a Cholo. And that would be a big loss for the Kohen. He doesn't get to do Avoda. He loses Truma, etc., etc. Lots of things we lose. So what are we going to say? Well, we're going to do to them what they planned on doing to him. But they're not Kohanim. So you can't un-Kohenize a Yisrael. So what are you going to do? Well, I'll tell you what. Lashes. Well, I don't see that anywhere written in the Torah. It isn't written anywhere in the Torah. The Torah only writes you do to them what they planned on doing to somebody else. So now we have to find a hint to tell us what to do to Edim Zomamim when they got to get some kind of punishment, shouldn't they? You have to do something, but you can't give them what they were planning on doing. So what will be the punishment? Really, I have no idea. If I would ask you, what punishment should we give these guys? You could think of, without the Torah, you'd say, well, maybe a financial punishment. Maybe we'll figure out how much money this guy would have lost by losing Truma and the 24 gifts. I'm sure you can get an actuary to figure out how much money he would have lost. I mean, without a Torah, if it asked you, what would you do? You'd have to think, what would be the possibilities? So therefore, we're looking for a hint in the Torah that we lash him, and that becomes the law. If you can't give Edom Zomim the exact thing they intended on doing, the halacha is that you lash them. So where's the hint to that? That's the psukim we just learned, and now we're going to relook at those psukim and see the hint. Dichsiv, it says the following. Now here's the unusual part over here. It says, V'hitztiku es hatzadik, they shall exonerate the innocent, V'hirshinu es harasha, and they will convict the evildoer. Now, the question is, and then it says, the next pasuk says, then it shall be that if the evildoer is liable to lashes, etc. So that was bothering you right away, Shelley. That was what you were bothering you the first minute we started here. You were wondering if it's a civil case, why are we lashing the guy, right? And I said, wait, right? I couldn't answer you then. Now you're going to have the answer. You're right, the whole psukim don't make any sense. You exonerate the innocent guy. You make the guilty guy guilty. Well, if it's a case between two guys, where's lashes fit in? It's not a case of, let's say, eating treif, where you get lashes, because then it's not between two people. So in other words, the whole psukim would not make any sense without this teaching of Ula now. So that's what it's saying, and that's the very question that Gemara asks in looking at the psukim. Mishum deitztiku es hatzadik, because they shall exonerate the innocent guy, v'hirshanu es harasha, and convict the evildoer, is the logical progression the next line. V'hoya imbin hakos harasha, then it shall be that if the evildoer is liable to lashes, how does it ever happen in such a case where you're exonerating an innocent guy, and then you've sentenced the bad guy to lashes? You know, what's the exoneration of the innocent guy over here? Like, the whole thing doesn't make sense. You exonerate an innocent guy, you make guilty. Either guy is guilty, it's one guy is guilty or innocent. First of all, so look at all the questions this pasuk has. Number one, how do you have between two guys that one guy is innocent and one guy is guilty? I mean, either one guy is guilty or one guy is innocent. It's not one guy is innocent and one guy is guilty. You understand? It's like, when you want to get a case, is somebody in the, let's say a guy stole, is an accusation stole. Well, either the guy we're accusing is going to be innocent or guilty. Where's the second party fit in over here? And then where does lashes fit in over here? So therefore, the only way, this is a hint, Torah doesn't expressly say it, but how do you learn pshat? Well, the first rabbi said, well, you know, it's, but we don't agree with it. So it must be a case of, Ella, we're speaking about Edim Zomimim. Edim Shehirshu Es Hatzadik. Let's think about it. Witnesses, false witness, say that a tzadik is a rasha, such as this Kohen. He was a tzadik, he's a good guy, and they said something bad about him, that he's not really a Kohen. Then what happened? For Asu Ede Achrine, then other witnesses, a second prayer witness come. And what do they do? Now the pasuk is going to make sense. By falsifying the second witnesses, first pair of witnesses rather, what are you doing to the first guy that was being testified wrongly against? You're justifying that he's now righteous. Right? The first witnesses said he's not righteous. So now what are you going to do is, the other witnesses come out, v'hitztiku es hatzadik dimikara. They exonerate the defendant who was innocent in the first place. And now what do we do? What do those second witnesses come? V'shavinu l'hanach v'shoim. And now they establish the first pair of witnesses as the evildoers. And then what's the next clause in the pasuk? V'hoyo b'imbin hakos harasha. That the evildoer, meaning the false witnesses, is liable to lashes. So here's a case where the false witnesses are punished with the lashes. Well, we have a lot of Gemaras that overlap things because it's a Mishnah here. Because this Mishnah here has a discussion: what's the source for lashes? It's a machlokas. Do you need 3 judges or 23 judges? Here, Sanhedrin is talking about the number of judges. Okay? So, Vemakos is talking a sugya of Edom Zomim, but there's always overlap from one topic to another. So we're saying the source for three judges, it says, Vishuvatum, and they will judge them, and then they're lashed. Which the Gemara said, well, wait a minute, maybe it's seven judges. That's the overlap. Saying, no. We're going to use that to hint to the fact that you get Edom Zomim over there, and they're punished with lashes for something that you can't give to them. Let's see the footnote here. This penalty of lashes cannot apply where the Zomim witnesses sought to impose a financial obligation on someone, as you might have thought the Pasuk, for in such a case, the witnesses should then incur both lashes and a financial obligation, and the law is that a person becomes liable through a single act to both lashes and payment incurs only one of those two penalties. Since the penalty of lashes cannot apply in monetary cases, right? That's the whole problem. You don't apply lashes in monetary cases. We assume that instead implies in cases where the usual reciprocal penalty cannot be imposed. In other words, the footnotes are saying, why are we saying it's a case of Edom Zomim? Why don't we just say it's a financial case? He's asking the question. So, well, but we can't say that. Because you're not going to give them the lashes in a monetary case. You don't give lashes in a monetary case. And therefore, so let's go back and see the Pasuk again. Let's go back where we saw the Pasuk, and now we'll read the Pasuk properly. Now let's look again at the footnote, and now we'll read the Pasuk the way with the proper interpretation. Kiyeh riv ben anashim, and there'll be a dispute between two people. And what's the dispute? Well, if this guy is a legitimate Kohen or not, right? V'nikshu el ha-mishpat, they will bring them to the court, ushvatim, and they will judge them. So you have two judges. And what happens now? Now another set of witnesses come, another set of witnesses who zomify the first pair of witnesses, v'itztiku es hatzadik, and they make righteous the fellow who was righteous to begin with, the guy who always was a kohen and was, should not deserve to not be a kohen. And v'hirshiu es harasha, and now they make the wicked witnesses, they're clearly wicked. So now... Okay, that's, well, you could say it's a group that comes as one. That's, you know, they're considered like one group, right? Again, this is a hint. This is not exactly, but, you make the wicked. The wicked, you know, is not necessarily singular. The wicked, you know, the wicked one, right? The wicked people. But you need the judges to do that, right? So then, v'hoya imbin. Now, when you figure it out, hakosa Russia. You hit the Russia, which are those people. All right. So now we have to get back to the place over here. One second. Okay. So very good. So what do we got so far? We have the source, according to this opinion, that for lashes you have to have three, because it says ushvatum, and they will judge them. That's two. Can't have an even court, so that's got to be three. It's not going to be seven, because the other two plural words are explaining a unique case. As Ul explained, this is the hint in the Torah that if you can't give Edom Zomim what they actually wanted to do, we lash him. So we're learning two very important halachas in this one little sugi over here. Three witnesses for lashes, and if you can't give the person... Three judges for lashes, and you can't give them the exact punishment they ate him so much they want to give, you will lash them. So now the Gemara asks the question, wait a minute, why are we assuming that we don't lash these guys? Let me just get the place here again. Okay. Yeah, tape recorder's been on the whole time. Okay, now, before we get to the question, let's take a look at the introduction here. Since the phrase v'hitztiku, v'hishu, and they shall exonerate, and they shall convict, is required for the preceding derivation, right, for Ula's thing, what was the question? Let's learn seven from here, right? So it cannot be used as suggested above to teach the number of judges required to try a case of lashes. We can't add that another two, another four for seven. It's just following through on the answer. That's all that's saying. We're going to ask why Ula needs this derivation for the law that Zomimim witnesses in Kur lashes. He's saying, why did Ula need a hint to this? We can get these guys lashed for another reason altogether. We're saying, well, what's the hint that if you can't give the guy what he wanted to get, we give him lashes? Wait a minute. We can get it on a whole another way. V'tepaklei, we could lash Enim Zomimim on another count. From what? Milo Sa'aneh. From the Torah says, Lo Sa'aneh. That's in the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments say, look at the, does it have the whole passage there? No. It says, Lo Sana Breyacha Eid Sheker. You shall not bear false witness, right? Is that a positive commandment or a negative commandment?
Negative.
Thou shalt not bear, right? So as a rule, negative commandments carry the penalty of lashes. The general rule, when you transgress a lav, unless there's an extra punishment given, let's say Chil Shabbos, the Torah says is death. But when normally the Torah says, thou shalt not, generally the rule is lashes. So now, very good. So what were we wondering here? How do you know, what's the hint that you give false witnesses lashes, if you can't give them what they wanted to give the guy? What do you mean? Every Edom Zomim are false witnesses, and they transgress the negative commandment of thou shalt not bear false witness. I don't need any hints. It's one. You don't have to warn Edom Zomim.
You don't have to warn. Negative commandment to get lashes in general.
When you go to court, they tell. Remember, when you go to court, they warn you. You have to be honest. They gotta, you gotta be honest. You can't cheat. You can't this. You can't that. Right. So let's get them for that. Right. So since false testimony is prohibited by a negative commandment, it should be automatically subject to the penalty of Malchus, where the specific assumption cannot be applied. Even without a biblical decree unique to Zomim. It's just a good old-fashioned law. So now we get the famous answer. This is the famous answer, rule about lashes. You know the answer without seeing ahead? Why do we not lash for this law? There's a rule, only certain lavim get lashes and certain ones don't. What must the negative commandment have in it? What?
An action.
Has to have an action, physical action, like doing something. So the answer is, one second, let's read it first. Mishum dehavale lav she'ein bo maisa. It's a lav that does not have an action. And look at the brackets there. Testifying falsely is not legally considered an action. And we have to look at the Gemara later on, Samachem Abeis. And that's what Gemara says. V'chol lav she'ein bo maisa. Ain't loke in a love. Any love that does not have a real action, we do not lash for that. So it comes out again to summarize. This opinion is saying that you get, where's the source for three judges are required to administer lashes? It says ushvatum, and they will judge. That's two, and therefore you have to have an odd amount is three. It has two other pluralities. That's coming to teach us the hint that you lash Edom Zomim when you cannot give them what they wanted to give. And then we ask, wait a minute, why don't we just lash them because they transgressed the law? Well, you shalt not bear false witness. The answer is because it's not a negative with an action. Since there's no action, they don't get lashes. Therefore, we have to come on to that thing. Tomorrow, we'll learn Rabbi Yishmael's position, which we'll just look at the next line. The Mishnah brings the Machlokas. Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amru Be'esther Mishlosh. In the name of Shmuel, you need 23 judges to administer lashes, and we'll discuss that tomorrow.